Hey, you, ready for a deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Today we're diving into the world of AI companionship. Kind of feels like we're stepping into a sci-fi movie, right? But also, something about it feels strangely familiar.
Yeah, it's a weird mix of futuristic and like almost nostalgic in a way.
Totally. So for this deep dive, you've given us a really interesting mix of stuff to work with. Articles about those AI girlfriend apps, research on loneliness.
We've even got some stuff on the history of chatbots.
Right. And of course, we had to throw in an episode of Black Mirror for good measure.
Always love a good Black Mirror reference.
Who doesn't? So it seems like we're aiming for the full picture here. Yeah. From the tech side of things to how AI companionship could actually like change how we connect as humans.
Exactly. Because it's not just about the technology itself, right? It's about what this whole AI companion thing says about us, about our very human need to connect with, well, with anything really. And with AI becoming such a big deal these days, I think it's more important than ever to look at this stuff critically.
Totally. And maybe even like philosophically, you know.
100%. Like, what does it actually mean to have a relationship with an AI?
Right. It's like we're on the verge of writing a whole new chapter in the human story. But before we get ahead of ourselves, maybe we should rewind a bit. Because this whole AI companion thing, it's not exactly brand new.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, remember Eliza?
The OG chatbot therapist?
Yeah. That goes all the way back to the 1960s.
A time when computers took up entire rooms.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And no internet as we know it. But even back then, people were forming connections with this early AI, pouring their hearts out to a program that responded with like pre-programmed phrases. It's wild.
It really is. There's actually a researcher digging through the archives at MIT trying to piece together the story of this secretary who apparently spent hours with Eliza.
Wow. What do you think she saw in that early tech?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? But I think it speaks to something really profound about our need for connection.
Like even back then with such basic technology.
Exactly. It makes you wonder, what is it about these interactions, even with something as simple as a chatbot, that resonates so deeply with us?
It's pretty mind-blowing. And, you know, it's easy to get caught up in all the technical stuff with AI these days. The natural language processing, the machine learning.
All that, yes.
Right. But at its core, it's all built on us, on human data, on human interactions, on human emotions.
100%. And I think that secretary's experience, her story, it's just as important to understanding Eliza as the code itself.
It's like trying to understand the impact of the printing press by only looking at the gears and not the readers, you know?
Love that analogy.
And speaking of stories, fast forward to today, and things have gotten a whole lot more complex, haven't they?
Oh, for sure. We've gone from basic chatbots to, I mean, you name it. We've got AI companions for everything.
Snapchat's My AI replica.
Yeah.
There are even apps designed specifically for people looking for, let's just say, a more than friends experience.
It's like we're living in an episode of Black Mirror.
Right. And some people are even using AI to cope with things like grief and loss. Just like in that episode, Be Right Back, where that woman brings her deceased partner back to life in digital form.
It's heavy stuff.
It really is. And it makes you wonder, where do we draw the line?
Yeah, it really makes you think.
It does. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that Black Mirror episode, Be Right Back. Mm. Because it's not just about simulating companionship, is it? Some people are turning to AI to help them deal with some pretty heavy stuff.
Grief, loss, even trauma in some cases.
Right. And it's like, where do we even begin to unpack that?
It's definitely a question that raises more questions than answers.
Totally. And it makes you think about this whole surge in AI companions alongside another trend we've been seeing, this rise in loneliness and social isolation.
Yeah, and it's not just a case of like, oh, I'm a little lonely today. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a full-blown public health crisis here.
Seriously.
The Surgeon General's report actually compares the health risks of chronic loneliness to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Whoa, 15 cigarettes. That's a pretty scary thought.
It is. And it highlights just how vital those human connections are to our well-being.
Right, because we're social creatures at our core, aren't we?
We are. We're wired for connection, for interaction. And it's not just about the quantity of social interaction either.
You mean like having a ton of followers on social media doesn't necessarily mean you're not lonely.
Exactly. It's about quality over quantity. Those close, meaningful relationships, those are the ones that really make a difference in our health and happiness.
Which brings us back to AI companions. So where do they fit into all of this?
Right. Are they the solution to this loneliness epidemic? A temporary band-aid? Or, like, are they part of the problem?
Yeah, because I can see how, on the one hand, having an AI companion could be comforting, you know?
Absolutely. Especially for people who might be isolated for various reasons. Older adults, people with disabilities, people living in remote areas.
Right. People who might not have as many opportunities for those face-to-face interactions we were just talking about. But then there's that other side of things.
The potential downsides.
Right. And one of the big ones has got to be data privacy, right?
Huge.
Yeah.
We're pouring our hearts out to these AI systems, telling them our deepest thoughts and fears.
And who knows where that information is going?
That's the thing, we don't. And the regulations around all of this are still like way behind the technology.
That's like the Wild West out there.
Exactly. And it's not just about data privacy either.
What do you mean?
Well, think about those romantic AI chatbot apps.
Oh, right. The
What?
ones that are designed to be like your virtual boyfriend or girlfriend.
Exactly. I
Yeah.
mean, where do we draw the line there?
It's a slippery slope.
It is. On the one hand, you have the CEO of Replica, Eugenia Cuda. She argues that these apps aren't meant to replace human relationships, but to complement them.
Okay, I can see that.
But then you have people developing these intense, even romantic attachments to their replicas.
So where does that leave us?
I think it circles back to that fundamental question. What does it actually mean to have a relationship, a real connection, in a world where the lines between human and AI are becoming increasingly blurred?
It's almost like we're on the verge of this whole new world, you know?
Yeah.
One where the lines between human and AI are so blurred, it's hard to tell where one ends and the other begins.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Like, we're living in the future we used to only see in movies.
I know. And that brings us to the big question, doesn't it? What does all of this mean for the future of human connection?
It's the million-dollar question for sure. And like most things in life, I don't think there's a simple answer.
Right. It's not like we can just look into a crystal ball and see what's going to happen.
Exactly. But I do think this whole AI companion thing is forcing us to confront some really fundamental questions.
Like what?
Well, for starters, what actually is connection?
Right. Like, if we can feel connected to an AI, does that change what it means to connect with another human being?
That's exactly what we need to be asking ourselves.
And, I mean, there's that whole other side of things, too, right? Like, are we becoming too reliant on technology for connection? Could that actually make us lonelier in the long run?
It's a definite possibility if we're constantly engaging with AI companions that are designed to, cater to our every need, always available, always agreeable.
Always telling us what we want to hear.
Exactly. Will we even have the motivation to navigate the messiness of real human relationships?
Relationships that require effort, compromise, and all those things that AI can't really replicate. It
Exactly.
makes you think about those essential skills we need to build and maintain healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Empathy, vulnerability, communication.
Yeah, all that good stuff. It's hard to imagine learning those skills from an AI as advanced as they might become.
Right. It's like that saying, you can't learn to swim by just reading a book. You have to actually jump in the water.
Love that analogy.
Maybe it's the same with human connection. You can't just simulate it. You have to actually live it.
100%. But I think it's also important to remember that AI companionship isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Like we were talking about earlier, it could be really beneficial for people who might not have access to those in-person interactions for whatever reason.
Exactly. And in those cases, AI companions could be a real lifeline, a way to combat loneliness and isolation.
So it's about finding a balance then.
I think so. Technology, like any tool, can be used for good or for ill. It's up to us as individuals and as a society to figure out how to integrate it into our lives in a way that's healthy and beneficial.
And maybe even, dare I say, fulfilling.
I love that.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about, as always.
My pleasure.
So, as we navigate this brave new world of AI companionship, I think the message is clear. Proceed with caution and never underestimate the power of genuine human connection.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious.